I think it's really interesting that when we meet people, one of the first questions we normally ask is, what do you do? It's like, where are you from? What do you do? Rather than kind of who are you or like, what are you interested in? Career is such a big theme in everyone's lives. I guess it takes our jobs take up so much time. I mean, 40 hours of the week, and then we're sleeping like the other half of the time.
It becomes our personality, like you said. That's why we named the episode that way, because what do you do is basically who you are. It ends up in the end. And I really like to ask people at some point into the conversation, what are you curious about? What do you do besides work, you know? Posting a TikTok about the passion, and I'm like, maybe people on TikTok will be interested in that and can give me some ideas. So it gets more views, the TikTok that I post, than any other reel I have ever created.
So how is TikTok going for you?
It's going pretty good, actually. 30 something followers, but there's lots of visibility. Plenty of new features that I don't know how to use still. It's I think much bigger than Instagram because it seems like it has so much more marketplaces in it, like effects, filters, even some kind of editing. You can choose a template and it can edit the whole video for you, including captions, audio,
Oh, wow. Okay.
appearance. You
Yeah.
can you have a mini Photoshop in it, you know?
Really? So it's much more like the reels is much more better than the Instagram editing.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Do you think it's similar to CapCut in terms of editing?
They're the owners of CapCut, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, oh, okay. Oh, that's really interesting. So maybe we should do all of our editing in TikTok and then maybe.
But what I notice is the audio quality drops immensely when I use a TikTok on Instagram.
Okay.
So it muffles it and makes it sound a little bit echoey, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I have to figure a way there. I don't know, Instagram, it seems like it hates Android users anyway, so.
I think it's hard. The other day, do you know how they have this trial thing out with Reels that it shows it to not your followers? So I saw someone posting about that and they said that it was really good because it showed my reel to not my followers. And I think it was a bigger creator. She said she got like 200 new followers. So I tried it. I think no one liked my reel. So I chose a reel that did really well in the past. And I did it for the trial. No one liked it. There were like 100 views or something like this, like much, much worse. But I was thinking that because the reel was kind of designer specific, that if it showed that reel to non-designers, then of course no one's going to like it because. So I don't know if you're showing my reel to non-followers but not relevant followers, then it's completely useless. Like I only want sort of designer or business people to follow me. Don't show my reel to like a random person. I don't know who was into something else. So yeah, it did. Like I have no other posts that no other reels that have only had like 100 views and there no likes at all. Like this doesn't even happen. So I was like, oh great, thanks Instagram. You didn't help me at all.
When I tell you that the user experience for creators on this app, it's so frustrating. I totally understand. But here, what you did well is that the fact that you used a well-performing already reel on your page to repurpose it as a trial. And that's how you can see if your content is really interesting to new people, you would think. But obviously, they didn't push it to the right audience. Otherwise, you would also get 200 new followers if that was the case.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think it would have, yeah, but only relevant to designer people. Like, yeah, I see.
Designer business doesn't matter. Your reels are good. And if they pushed it to the right audience, not entertainment, I don't know if do we have the tags still on the reels to choose which category it fits? Remember before it was like you can choose, is it business? Is it whatever? So it can push it to the right people. But I think they removed that feature, if
I
I'm
think I
not
haven't
mistaken.
used it before, to be honest.
Oh.
was
There
there?
were categories if you want to make sure that your reel gets to the right people, but
Yeah.
I think they removed it, so you never know now where the reel goes. I tried with a new reel, the trial one. I got one view. One view.
But then it's so crazy that like if that person didn't watch the your full reel, then I guess they didn't show it to anyone else.
Yes.
So you were judging the whole thing on that one person. And if
Yes.
that person was, I guess, not a designer, then why would they watch it?
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. I don't know. So yeah, they need some, I think it's a really good idea, but they need to practice
Make
it
more
a little bit.
rules.
Yeah. But the thing is also I don't get is that when how I understand the algorithm works, that when more people watch it and interact with it, then they show it to more people. So my understanding would be that to show my reel to the people that really like my content first, so they can interact with it and then show it to other people. That to me seems more of like a better trial of
Rather
seeing
than the
how good the
opposite,
content is, or I don't know. But maybe they're trying to get it away from if you've built a community that like your content, then checking if like your content is actually good with a wider community who maybe don't like you yet, you know, like they don't know you
That they
yet.
know you,
So
yeah.
yeah, I
I
don't.
think that first option for me makes more sense, because what's the point of Instagram if not finding your community? And of course, you would, for me, logically would show it to the people that are following you and that are interested in the content, support it, and then that engagement naturally will build up to more views and to more people to discover you, right?
Yeah,
Right?
exactly.
You would think, because some people talk about something, oh, let me show this person that maybe thought about that, because they even can read thoughts now, because I think about something and I see it in the next reel scroll. And I'm like, okay, so you heard me.
Listen to this conversation then, hey, Instagram.
Yeah. If you probably open that huge whiteboard that I hope they're using for their strategic planning for Instagram, they have so many relations like tangled up already, because they were messing up so much with this algorithm showing follower first, non-followers, reels not to be in the feed, then to be only on the
Yeah.
For You page, and just like, what do you want from us?
Yeah, so crazy.
I see some flowers in the
Yes. So
background.
today's
Happy
my birthday.
birthday.
Thank you. It's so nice to start the morning talking to you and recording this podcast. I think it's like such a good way to start my birthday. And then also, well, it's blurry, but I bought a whiteboard. So this is kind of my birthday present to myself. I don't know
Congratulations.
why for so long I was, you know, I was thinking, ah, oh, maybe I don't need it. Like I shouldn't buy it and that sort of thing. I don't know. It's like 30 euros. I don't know why I was holding myself back for so long. And now I'm so happy with it. Like just writing stuff. Like when I think of something, because I have so many to-do lists on my laptop and then like writing down and I feel like it's a lot. And then there's some things that I just need to get out of my head and put right down somewhere. So it's perfect. I love it.
And don't you feel like a manager, planner, teacher all at once, deleting and putting
Exactly.
new stuff, and it's just like,
Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah.
and I have a question. Did my Christmas present came to you, or my mom forgot to mail it?
Oh, I didn't receive anything yet.
So, do you have any plans for today, or are you celebrating on the weekend?
Both, actually, it's a really busy week. So yesterday I went to a networking event with a friend. And it was in kind of a champagne bar in like a fancy district of Berlin. So it was very much, you know, this manifesting our wealth and, you know, thinking about the future, that sort of thing. It was really good. It was a smaller event. So there was only eight women or so. And then my friend who I was with, her birthday is actually tomorrow. So then after the event, we went to a bar close by and had a few drinks. And then tonight I'm going out for dinner with my boyfriend. And then tomorrow his parents will come here to, you know, have a cake. His mum is making me a cake. It's called a tres leches cake, which means three milks. Do you know it?
I have heard about it, and I know it will be good.
Oh, it's so good.
Never
It's
tried
just
it.
like a sponge cake, and then they cover it with like condensed sweetened condensed milk. So it goes through the sponge cake and it's all gooey and Amazing. And what, his mom is a really good cook, so I'm so excited. And then on the weekend, on Saturday, I'm meeting up with some friends and I've booked like a smash room, it's called. So you get the basically like a small living room. It's filled with old furniture that's been thrown
Yes,
away. And
we
then they
have it
give you
here
tools
too.
or whatever, and then you just smash whatever you want, and like break everything. And then we'll go out for dinner after. So a busy week of the birthday, the birthday
That
thing.
will be so exciting. That
Yeah.
is like such a good therapy exercise, like for everything that has happened from 2024. You'll be like,
Exactly. Yeah, just get it all out. I saw it on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the TV show, ages ago. And since then, I've just been wanting to do it. And now I'm like, okay, it's my birthday. Last year, I didn't do anything for my birthday. So this year, I feel like I'm going all out. I'm just like, fuck it. If it's not now, then like, when am I going to do it? You know? Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I think, I don't know why we think like that, but most of us is like, one day,
Exactly.
when is
Yeah.
that day you're going to do it? Like, either the experience or fight for yourself or do something differently or create
Yeah.
something. It's just like, yeah,
Exactly.
okay,
Yeah, I
that's
like it.
exciting. There will be photos and videos, I guess,
Yes,
or okay.
there will be lots of photos and videos, so I will share throughout.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, and I think this ties in really well to our topic today about careers and where we're going in the future. I feel like through this new year and then with my birthday and, you know, getting older, I'm thinking about who I am, who I was, who I want to become. And a lot of that is tied in with career. So we've named the episode Is Designer Your Final Form? So now we are designers. Is that the last thing that we're going to be? What does it mean to have a passion, follow your career, all of these things? So.
I need a moment.
I think it's a super interesting topic because it covers so many things like yourself, I mean, what you're passionate with, and then something that can actually make sense for you as a career because we do need these two things. And how do you balance that? And then also balancing that with maybe expectations from family or society. And yeah, there's a lot to think about. I think it's really interesting that when we meet people, one of the first questions we normally ask is, what do you do? It's like, where are you from? What do you do? Rather than kind of who are you or like, what are you interested in? Career is such a big theme in everyone's lives. I guess it takes, our jobs take up so much time. I mean, 40 hours of the week, and then we're sleeping like the other half of the time.
It becomes our personality, like you said. That's why we named the episode that way, because what do you do is basically who you are. It ends up in the end. And I really like to ask people at some point into the conversation, what are you curious about? What do you do besides work? I know we talked on previous episodes and even on private coffee chats that hobbies, what is that? We need to work on that as well. And I have a question to the audience as well. How do you find out what you're passionate about? How do you define passion, and how do you know that this is something that you're really enjoying if you don't let yourself try new things, experiment, and be curious about other topics and other industries, other mediums? If you're an artist, if you don't try different things, how would you know if you're not passionate about that thing or not? So I think my friend also, one of them is like, I still don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm working this job and I'm getting this paycheck, but I really am not passionate about that. And I don't know what my passion is. And I haven't done anything about finding it also, which she knows she's guilty of. So she will be trying this year to try new things and figure out what she's good at and see what happens. And I want to ask you too also, do you think that your passion has to be only for pleasure? Like only to be happy with what you do, or does it have to provide you with some kind of incentive as well?
Good question. I think for me, it's changed throughout all my years. I sound so old.
We are what was
It's nice getting older, you know?
it is.
But I think definitely when I was younger, so I became a designer because when I was younger, like a child, I was very artistic and I really liked painting and drawing and everything. And then in my teenage years, I did a class, kind of a design, like product, not product design, but it was figuring out how to like design a pen or, you know, a game and stuff like that, which I really loved. And I think that is what prompted me to become a designer, because it's like figuring out and like making things functional. And this was very selfish, not in a bad way, but like I was doing it because it was something I enjoyed. And I think now that I'm in my 30s, I'm kind of understanding that I really love helping people, and I really feel now responsible for the future. You know this saying, you be the change you want to see. So I feel like if I want the world to change, then I am responsible for that. Like, okay, maybe personally I won't change the world, but if I can change a part of it and be a part of that change, then I think I really need to. So now I feel like my passion is going more into like, let's really try and do something good. And that's why I guess in my business, I'm moving more towards the business side of things. And rather, I mean, I love designing still, but actually doing the,
Foundation.
yeah, exactly. That's more interesting to me. And not so much the colors and the fonts and like adding everything together. I'd rather do like the thinking part. And I think that for me is becoming my passion, because I know that it's going towards something. I'm having an impact.
Contributing to the bigger good, if you will. It has like more meaning behind, rather than just the aesthetics that are just looked and admired and then neglected afterwards. Because the business strategy and mission and what you have behind all this design, it's what makes the difference in the world. And if you have talked with your clients, you know that the difference when someone cares about their business and someone who doesn't care about their business. So
Exactly.
I see,
Yeah. And how what is the quite answer for you?
What was the
Oh,
question?
the question was like, do you think your passion needs to be something that you really enjoy doing, or is it for a like broader mission?
When I think about passion, I don't know why, but I assume that it's something like a hobby, but the incentives that you get from that hobby are not really needed. It's more like I'm doing this for fun and curiosity, and it happens so that brings me some kind of stability as well. And but in my case, I would say it happens so that it is right in the middle and brings stability as well, combined with the passion, because as you said, like that's why I do UX. That's why I love UX. Like you said, like figuring out the business part of it and why in behind all this and the root of the whole idea and why the whole system, why does it even exist, you know? So I think that's why I love UX so much, and it combines the passion and the technical part of my brain, like the artistic and the technical and the logical combined together. And then we provide this like visual websites, apps, designs, and solutions. So I think that's the ikigai, that if someone has to explain it, I assume that is what it is. But I think it can be both. It can be rewarding in terms of monetization, but also can be just for fun and just for the sake of creating something that you want. And I think, let me check on my Instagram. I put a question for my audience there because I was like, we have such a good episode. I need to know what other people think about this passion thing. And let's see if there's a new answers. But the only one that I got so far was the feeling of having something that I created living on the internet. It was the answer on the question, what brings your passion out?
Oh, interesting. Actually, I remember I used to feel like that also when I started doing design, and it was just so, I felt so proud that like I could create something that was then out there and like people were using or people could see. Yeah, I the same for me when, and I was like, oh, this is so cool that like I did something and then people are actually using it. Like, I think it's that you're actually making an impact in people's lives. Like, you're actually changing something. That's amazing.
leaving some legacy, if you will.
Yeah, even if it's just something very small.
Yeah, I think it's like a footprint of some sort, because with other professions, if it's not tangible, but it's still visible. You can still touch it and feel it. So I think maybe that also can determine your passion if you're really passionate about something like that. So if you do sports, you will aim to have some kind of trophies, I guess, some achievements, some records. If you're doing art, I guess to be attending some kind of exhibition or a show that you really admire. If you're a designer, I guess, what would be our equivalent for super prestigious passion award? What do you think?
I mean, I think it's more if you were responsible for, let's say, an app that everyone was using, TikTok, for example, if you had designed the CapCut TikTok video
Features.
editing, then and then you heard you saying what you just said in the beginning of the episode, I would be so proud, right? Like making the world easier for people, or like making people's jobs easier to do. This for me would be my proud moment. Feels like making stuff better.
I think there is a term for that. But my price would be to have a solution that helps people, and they say that exact thing. You know, this thing made my life easier. That would be that statement will be like, okay, I made it. I'm done.
No, it's amazing. I love the networking event I was at last night. There was so much of this sort of ideas that people were talking about, like, yeah, I want to start a business so that I can change the bad things in the world, or like have a positive impact. And it feels like a lot of the people at the event were quite in their kind of early 20s. And it was so inspiring to see younger people talking about this sort of thing and really thinking or believing or knowing as well that they can really have a positive impact in the world. And then going after that rather than just, I don't know, complaining and being negative and stuff like that.
For me, also a key word will be caring. Caring
Awesome.
enough to make some kind of impact and to take some action towards that. And another thing that I admire other designers as well is we also met on another networking event last year, and I asked him about Stripe and some questions around that and invoices, and he was like, I use Figma for my invoices, but I would really like to create something much more efficient. And the next day I told him what happened with the tax office and whatever, and he was like, oh, by the way, I designed an invoice app in 6 hours.
What? That's crazy.
Yes, he used vanilla CSS, HTML, and JavaScript, or something like that, combined with ChatGPT, and he already has like a non-aesthetically pleasing but working invoice solution for himself and his business. And I'm like,
Amazing.
okay, that's what you do with your time, and I am so happy. And I'm like, there will be more, right? There will be more updates on this. And he was like, maybe, because he just opened the studio with another designer, so I think they will make great things.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I can't do anything in 6 hours. I couldn't design a whole app. Oh, that's so cool.
It gave me a lot of perspective on, oh my God, I'm still thinking about the information architecture of this website, and he already has an app for invoice.
Exactly. It's sometimes very intimidating speaking to other people when I see what they're doing. I mean, I'm really happy with my business and everything, but there are so many talented, amazing people in the world doing really cool things. And I'm like, oh no, what am I doing?
Am I actually doing my passion, or am I stalling what I am doing here?
Yeah, exactly. I
And I,
often say to
yeah.
myself, like, oh, you're just being lazy. Like, you could be doing so much more.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a little bit good because it pushes me, but it's also a little bit toxic that
Yeah.
I am doing lots of stuff, but somehow I still think that I'm being lazy. I don't know, because I can't design an app in 6 hours. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, why don't you work harder, Kat? You know, and
Yeah.
that's maybe not a good way to talk to myself.
And I will give you another perspective here, because he said like it's not aesthetically pleasing, and I'm sure he's missing some logical points, because you cannot plan execute and create an app in 6 hours that is flawless and works perfectly fine. I think that's a MVP, what he created, which is a great starting point. But I think this is his passion, where he creates stuff without overthinking too much, you know. And with the help of AI, I assume you can also do that, and we can do that. But I think we are so much in our heads in create when creating that we take our time in the planning phase and then start creating. So this is how we do it. That's the way how we work.
Yeah, everyone works differently. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I would rather plan ahead and try to break things later rather than create something and then when it's breaking, figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it's interesting you saying that people do work differently and it's all okay. There's not like a correct way to do things. And I think that relates to, I guess, the societal or family expectations of how we do with our career. There's a podcast that I started listening to recently called JOMO, which stands for The Joy of Missing Out. And they talk about, it's called that because they didn't follow the expected path in their careers or their lives, and they're missing out on that thing. So then they're talking about the joy of missing out and going on a different path. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. Do you feel like you've had expectations from your family about your career? Like, what do they think of what you're doing now? Do they understand what you do?
I have so many answers on this couple of things that you said. I'm actually attending a workshop tomorrow evening about JOMO and FOMO.
Oh,
Yes. So
that's
it's
so
going to
cool.
be a local youth workshop on that topic, and I'm so curious to see what they're going to present and how they're going to open up for the topics. And I'm excited to meet new people as well.
Maybe
But
that can be a future episode. I think that
yeah,
sounds
we
really
can definitely
interesting.
do that. Yeah. On the yeah there were I saw a TikTok the other day or reel whatever grandma do you know what I do and they ask them you know questions about their work and they really well understand the lingo and they explain everything. I don't know if my mom knows, but my brother younger brother definitely knows that I make websites. I don't think they understand the UX part of it anyway, but that's world situation. It's not only them, it's
Yeah,
us.
exactly. I think a lot of people don't understand that. Once I was speaking to my dad, this was a few years ago when I was doing UX design, and he was asking about what I did. And I said, yeah, designing the app. So I was showing him on an iPad, his iPad, yeah, to do this and this. Like someone had to figure that out. And he was just like, isn't it just like that? Like, no. How did you think it got like that? Like, someone has to do
Yeah,
that.
to
Like,
think
he just
about it.
assumed that that's how things were, and like, it didn't need to be kind of designed and thought about. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy for you to do this because someone has thought about the easiest way for you to do it. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and most of developers do that. Why would they create something new than when I already have a template out there and I can just use it and apply our logic and make it work? That's
Exactly.
when you create product based on other examples without actually thinking about what your users need and what you can provide for them. But on the topic of the pressure, my mom for a really long time wanted me to work in a bank because in her mind I would make much more money. Now, last time I was with her for Christmas, she was like, why not become a doctor or have a PhD in some kind of science or something, because you be like a decan, it's called dean, I assume in English, and you'll be like have prestigious title, more money. And I'm like, do I even have to explain that that's not my passion? I love teaching, but it's not my passion right now, so I can switch immediately and start pursuing something like that. Because she did recognize in me that I love teaching and explaining things since a young age. So I was really considering that back then, but it didn't, my life didn't turn that way. So I didn't have exposure to teaching other people. I was just absorbing information at the time. So yeah, there is pressure from family and friends and asking you, oh, are you still doing this? How is your small business going? And all that questions,
When they say, how's your small business going? Do they say it in a way like in a negative way?
No, this is a phrase that online creators use, like, how is your small business going? Here people ask me like, oh, how is your business going? And they are asking me with how it's called, admiration, honestly. I can see in
That's
their eyes because they know that what I do is hard and it's one member band kind of situation. So you cannot imagine how many things I have to handle. And you also, it's just like they know it's hard. So they are like, oh, how is that going? Because they don't have even friends that are doing what I do. So it's interesting to find out.
That's good. Yeah, because when I see it on social media, when people say this, how's your small business going? I see it in a more negative way. So I'm glad that you had it more with the in a respectful, aspirational way. So that's good. I mean, I think most people are, unless maybe if you're in kind of a society or group where people value a lot, like these working in a job, working in a bank, or the money and the accolades, like the awards and like the title and stuff like that. I think maybe other family that I have seem very more into that. But my parents are very chilled. They just want to, they've always wanted to just work so they can enjoy their life. And I had a conversation with my mum about this recently, and I was saying that, now that you've retired, because you've gone through your life and you've kind of achieved everything that you want, and now that you're retired, that you can rest and stuff like that. Because that's how I think about my life, that I want to achieve a lot and then I want to chill out. And then she was saying, no, throughout my life, I've never really wanted to achieve in that way. I just wanted to have a good life where I can enjoy or do the things that I enjoy doing, and then bring up kids that are respectful, good people. And that's what her kind of goals were, rather than wanting to achieve in the way that maybe we talk about it. And I'm like, that's so amazing. Like, it's so, like, she's so happy and she's done everything that she wanted to do. And she's just happy, you know? Oh, it's such a good, I love that, like, we think about it so differently. But I feel like I've got so many traits from her that have helped me in my work ethic and how I do things and how I treat people. So, yeah, it was really interesting conversation.
And if you ask your parents what their passion is or was, what would do you think they would say?
So my mom, definitely it's the church. She loves praying and you learning about God and going to church. I think for her it's also a community thing. So when she goes to church, she meets similar like-minded people. And she also really likes flowers. So she will go, she has books and she reads about flowers and how they go around the world. And then she'll go to gardens and stuff like this and take note of all the flowers that she's seen. So she has like databases of everywhere that she's been in the world, what flowers she saw where. And sometimes if she goes back to the same place, she'll check if that flower is still there. So I guess just seeing how nature is working. She's very into it. My dad, on the other hand, has always been flying airplanes, and his dad was flying airplanes, and I think he just accidentally got into it. Basically, he moved around a lot as a young child and never really was in school. Like, he was in school, but then he didn't graduate. And then I think when he was around 15, he couldn't get into a school. The long story. But then he dropped out and he just started working with his dad, who was working as a aircraft engineer slash pilot type of thing. So I think he just fell into airplanes, and then that's what he's done his whole life. But I don't know, I think he loves it, but I don't, it was just kind of the passion that was put onto him because of his dad was doing it. So I wonder if that hadn't have happened, if he had of pursued something else, which I don't know what it would have been, because he's always just been planes. He likes planes and boats and that sort of thing. So
If he likes boats, maybe boats are the thing that he would probably redirect his attention, I guess.
yeah, it might
But
have been. I think it's kind of machines and that you can move on. And he does like, he likes the stuff with the engines. I think the boating a little bit also is that he's kind of introvert, and on a boat he can just sail out into the middle of the ocean, read his book, and no one can talk to him. I think that's what he likes doing.
I feel that. I feel that. I was just thinking yesterday, I was this close to write a post on Threads like, can somebody pay me to exist and read in my room and don't go out for days? Like, is this a job? You know, can I do that for a living?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we need that, the downtime.
Definitely. And what I wanted to say about the passion is like, yeah, that for me is a great description of a passion, you know, doing something just because it makes you excited and you want to learn more. It's more than a hobby at this point. When you like the flowers, when you have a book and you collect things, it just brings you to another level of satisfaction when you have something to keep up with and do.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I
I
think when
think.
we talk about being in the zone, when we start designing something that we really enjoy, my mom is that same thing when she's looking up her book, her flowers and in the books and
Yeah,
everything like that. So yeah, it's
gardening.
just different. But yeah,
Yeah.
as you say, I love that she's never tried to turn that into a career, which I think for me, whenever I feel passionate about something, I'm like, oh, maybe I could sell this, Like a few
Yeah.
years ago, well, ages ago, actually, I really got passionate about perfumes and like learning how mixing scents work and everything like that. So I started doing it at home. And my
Yeah.
instant thing was, ah, I'm going to make a business. I'm going to start a perfume business. And then I think it, because I had to start thinking about how I would sell them and blah, 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 that then I kind of lost that passion for it. So maybe I should get back into it and not have a business.
I think when we mix the business with the passion, this is where the clash starts. And I think most artists struggle with that as well when they have to sell the things that they love and it's just pure, how to say, it's just the outcome of what they had in mind and create, and they're not doing it because they want to sell it, but when they're good at it, it's just the way it works. So if
Yeah.
you are only good at that, and you, well, why not profit it from it? But that's
Yeah.
like a different niche topic about that.
Yeah.
But we have here some questions about overrated and essential. What do you think about that question about the passion? Do we have to have a passion though? Is it mandatory?
So I have a friend who thinks this as well, that probably it's overrated and not essential. I remember we talked about it and he was saying, what if I don't want to have like a passion? What if I don't want to have a mission or like a career that I'm working towards? I just want to kind of enjoy my day-to-day life. And I'm like, you're crazy. You will get so bored. So I think it's just different people find different things. Well, people are going to live differently, And I think that's the more important thing than saying like if it's essential or anything like that. I really like the concept of ikigai, as you mentioned before, that you find something that you're passionate about that does make you money, that brings good into the world. And I think there's a fourth one that I can't remember.
I think there are only three, basically. Yeah,
I
makes
also
you
thought,
happy.
but then I looked it up because I was explaining it to my mom, and there's actually a fourth one as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but okay, let's go with the three. But I think having those things then brings you fulfillment. It definitely for me, I know that I maybe not a passion, but I need to have something that brings me fulfillment. When, for example, I was in my 20s, I didn't have a passion or a mission, and I think I started getting a bit lost. And I actually started getting depressed because I would be working during the week and like just partying on the weekend. And I realized that my life was not moving in a certain direction and I wasn't passionate about anything. And then when I thought about it, then that's when I started my business and started doing web design and started understanding what I wanted and also living by my values. So for me, I kind of think it is essential to have something that you really care about because I, for example, hanging out with your friends on the weekend or doing things that you like doing, it's fun, but maybe not fulfilling on a deeper level. And I think you need to have those two things in order to be happy. Yeah. What do you think about it?
I agree. And here, there in the circles, like you mentioned, there's like mission, passion, profession, and vocation. So basically, I'm not sure what the actual translation of vocation will be, but I guess what you do and where you are and how you go about it. But I think that that's a very important part that you mentioned, like having your close circle. impacting on those people around you and having a bigger circle where you impact on more people and break out of your shell and, network more and meet new people and keep that novitet in your life, having something new every now and then. And I think it is essential to have some kind of passion. And I think the difference for me here on this terminology would be like, I don't see it that it has to be just one thing. I want to be like retired for life. I want to have 1 year for crocheting, to experiment crocheting. I want to have 1 year to explore only ceramics. I want to have 1 year only to explore traveling and being a nomad and walking around, like a pilgrim or whatever. I want to have these different chapters and these to be my mini passions for the time when I'm interested in them, curiosities or whatever you call them. And I don't think it has to be just one thing. For your whole life, you have to be, I don't know, an airplane engineer or a roses specialist or something like that. It can be, guys, if you're listening, it can be just one thing that you're really good at and passionate about, but it doesn't have to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I think the pressure to choose a career and stick with that for your whole life is too much. You know, how can we know who we are in our 20s, 30s, and 40s? You're always going to change and develop. And I think as long as you're happy along the way, then that's the most important thing, rather than having, such a set life plan.
And having a job and having a hobby is very important, I think. And that's something for 2025 I would also try. As I know you mentioned you want to figure out what your hobbies are. Try just different things. Be outside
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I
and
think trying a
see.
mixture of everything. There are some things that I would maybe naturally go towards, and I'm trying to go away from that. Last year, I joined a dance class, which is something that I've never done before. Like, I'm a terrible dancer, and it was the best thing ever because I didn't want to be good at it. It was one of those things like I'm just going to enjoy, and there was no pressure. Yeah, it was just so fun.
And it also is something that you believe. That is your old you, mindset that you support in order to keep that identity that you have from before. And that's the thing that I read from Jen Sincero about the finances, that's why you're not advancing in your life, because you want to be that person who doesn't have enough money to support the claim that you cannot afford that thing or do the things you want just because. And in order to get to the other point is to dream bigger and to be scared and to try new things and to see if maybe you like the other extreme as well, and maybe that's who you really are and can be. So I think the comfort zone is really comforting, and that's what I think why people are also my friend Miroslava. That's why you're in your comfort zone and you're not doing new things in order to find out if you're maybe naturally good at something else. So, yeah.
Good thing to think about. So yeah, I think finishing up, we wanted to ask the audience that if you weren't a designer, what would you explore next? Or what would you be doing in the future? Maybe let's say we have like five words each. What do you think in 10, 20 years from now, what would you be doing as a quick answer?
Five options.
Oh no, about five words or so, a quick sentence.
If I wasn't a designer.
Okay, I'll go while you're thinking. I think a social impact, or like politics maybe, or like journalism or something like this. If I mean, I don't know if that would be the what I would do, but when I think of not being a designer, those are the things that I feel passionate about. So yeah, you might see President Catherine soon.
Oh, that's such a good question answer. I was thinking about teaching, like giving away my skills and my knowledge in a sense of form, or being a mediator, because that was my nickname growing up, because I'm really good in being the arbiter in between, and when the two parties are arguing, to see the middle and to make it work. So I think I want to be in other people's business, and I love drama. So I think that would be a great problem-solving environment where I can be like, yeah, this is what you should do. So maybe
Oh, amazing.
counseling, something like that. I would love that.
When I work in politics, then we can work together. You can help me
Yes.
mediate arguments with other politicians. Amazing.
Yeah. I think that would be another good way to make money. About your question in 5, 10 years, what I would do, I saw a reel that was more or less a breakdown of what is up for us in the future in 5 years, I think, and what the governments are pushing. Basically, which jobs will be extinct and which will gain more popularity. So it turns out, as a summary, we can do another episode on that, but basically they will push for more job positions that involve AI, machine learning and robotics and all that things that for me is just so many bunch of words that I don't understand. And the other demand will be for labor. Workers that are doing labor, gardening, social work, and heavy stuff, things that we actually don't want to do for money. We want to do that for fun, for example, gardening or whatever, but not to get paid for that. And graphic designer goes towards the bottom because AI can do all that. UX, UI for curiously is somewhere in the middle, but towards the up, like at the demand. So it's on the first 4 or 5 jobs or something like that. So we still have a job in 5 years, but
Fingers crossed, yeah. Otherwise, I'll be a gardener, no problem.
yeah. What
Oh,
do you
funny.
think? What do you think will change for you in 5 years? Do you think you will do the same, or you would like to? Because you said you almost applied for a new job in one of your
Oh,
latest posts.
yeah. I think last year, I'm not sure. I was just frustrated and I guess tired of, I was stressed out about work and like doing so many things, and I don't know, many things were happening. It was mainly I was having not problems, but like one of my clients was paying me consistently very late. And then so I constant and I was paying other people. So I constantly felt like I had no money, even though I was making money, you know? And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is not. And my main thing is I hate being stressed about money. Like, I really love stability. When I don't have it, like, I get stressed about so many things. And I was just a bit like, fuck it. And I saw on LinkedIn a web designer job post. I mean, I just did the easy apply. I don't know. I didn't really have high hopes, but it was just in this moment of frustration that, like, yeah, maybe I can get a part-time job in Berlin or something like that. And like, fuck everything. I'm glad, obviously, they didn't reply to me. So I'm glad it didn't go that way. Because now everything in my business is going really well. Like, I don't feel like that at all. So it's good.
Okay, good. But it would be in 5 years. If something changed, you will stay in the design industry.
I think so, yeah. Or design or business. I would love to go more into helping businesses grow and develop their strategy. Maybe not necessarily just websites, but offering more like business consultation and stuff like that. So
You
I'm not
can do that.
100% sure, but I feel like that's the direction.
You can do that for freelancers as well. How to scale from freelancing to a bigger business.
Exactly, yeah. So let's see. Exciting things to come.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah,
Well,
let us know in the comments what you think and what would you be if you weren't a designer? To hear from you.
And if you don't mind us asking, what is your passion? What do you do? What makes you excited waking up every day? And what do you like doing? Or if you don't know what your passion is, what is something that you would like to try in 2025 and see how it goes? Let's know in the comments or on social media. We are very, very excited to hear about other people's experience and interactions with our podcast. We were talking about that small piece of a reward that we have from this podcast is basically people saying, oh, I listened to that episode and I like this take and I did this, or I enjoyed listening about this topic, and we were like, okay, this is worth it.
Yeah, it's working. So
Yeah.
yeah, let us know.
Let us know and see you in the next episode.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.